the marks of Israel compared to the Jews. And this is part two of two. Last time I commented on only the first nine of 33 biblical marks of Israel that I had enumerated in a previous series of sermons. And so we'll go on with the rest of these as far as we can in the time that I have. I want to comment a little further on number 9, which was in Genesis 17 and verse 7, where God is speaking to Abraham, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." Now, we would have to deny all that the New Testament teaches about Jesus Christ if we were to say that the Jews actually worship the God of the Old Testament, because Jesus Christ, according to both the Old and the New Testament, was Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate, God in the flesh, and the basic doctrine of Christianity is that none can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So anyone worshiping any other God than Jesus Christ is not worshiping the God of the Bible. So the Jews, by New Testament definition, are worshiping a false God. And yet we have the promise of God to Abraham that he would be the God of these descendants who would receive these covenants and promises all through the age. So no true Christian minister should ever preach that the Jews worship the God of the Old Testament, since that is scripturally impossible if we believe the New Testament, which we claim we do. All right, now let's go on with the rest of the marks. Mark number 10 is in the next verse, verse 8, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now that was fulfilled when Israel came out of Egypt and was given the land of Canaan. They had it for a little over 900 years, and then most of them were gone for good. Some were gone for 70 years in the Babylonian captivity and then came back, and they were in the land again for 500 years until about 30 years after Jesus. Now, if the word there, everlasting, means age long, as it does in most cases where it's translated from the Hebrew word, then that has been fulfilled, because Israel did have the land of Canaan in that age, and they had it just on in a few years in the next age, which was the age following Jesus Christ. The Jews have now had it in the end of this age for a little over 30 years and seem to be hanging on by the skin of their teeth, but it's possible that they're there because of prophecy. Turn with me to the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. There is a prophecy about that ancient land. God is speaking through the prophet, "Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains," or the nations of Israel, "and say, ye nations of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, Aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession." So there would be a time, according to this prophecy, that the enemies of Israel would say in derision to Israel, "We have the ancient high places in our possession." Well, the ancient high places are the ancient places of worship in Old Canaan land, in what was the Israel land, and who has them in possession. Going on, verse 3, "Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession under the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of the talkers and are an infamy of the people." So he says to Israel, this is what you are when this prophecy comes to pass. Now, is that the Jews' position, or is that the position of the Anglo-Saxon and kindred peoples? We are the ones who are being brought low. We are the ones being swallowed up on every side. We are the ones whose wealth is being given to the heathen, and we are disgraced and abused and talked about in all the nations of the world and blamed for all of the world's ills. So God is saying this of Israel, that the time would come when you, Israel, were like that, and at the same time, the enemies of Israel would be in possession of the ancient high places. Verse 4, "Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate waste, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision, to the residue of the heathen that are round about. And there again, what nation, what people, cities are being taken over by aliens to their race? The heathen are occupying the cities of America and literally taking control of our nation. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Edomia. And here he names some people. This is the word for the people of Edom. And against all Edomia, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. So here is a prophecy that Edom would take God's land in order to divide it, conquer it, and cast it out for a prey. Now that brings up the question, if Palestine is God's land, who has that land? Well, the Jews have it. So if Palestine is God's land, the Jews must be Edom. If God's land is the United States or all of the Christian West, who again controls it? Well, the Jews control it. So again, whichever land you think is God's land, the Jews are in control of that land, and you come to the conclusion that Edom was to take control of whatever would be God's land. The Jews have that control. Therefore, the Jews are fulfilling prophecy about Edom, not about Israel, especially the one that says they would have the ancient high places in their possession. All right, let's go on with the next mark, number 11, also in Genesis 17, in the next verses, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And at that point someone says, aha, we have you there. The Jews are the ones who circumcise, and therefore they are the Israel people. Well, I should remind you that the Arabs also practice circumcision, and we've already discussed that. They are the descendants of Ishmael and, of course, the descendants of Abraham in that manner. But again, turn to Romans 2 in the New Testament, and what do we read about circumcision? Beginning in verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now let me ask you, if someone is circumcised in the flesh and breaks the law, then God says they are uncircumcised. Do you know a people who violate God's law with more diligence than the people we call Jews? He goes on, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew or a Judean, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Judean, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. In other words, heart circumcision is the mark of circumcision now since Jesus Christ. So if Israel was supposed to have the covenant of circumcision, then it would be obvious that Israel in the end of this age would have heart circumcision, not flesh circumcision, because flesh circumcision in disobedience is uncircumcision, according to that scripture. Now turn back to Deuteronomy 10, and let's see who was promised, or if anyone was promised, heart circumcision or circumcision of the heart in the end of the age. Deuteronomy 10, Moses, of course, is still speaking to the children of Israel. Verse 12, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. So here is a command way back when they were still in the wilderness, that to obey the law, they were to circumcise the foreskin of their heart. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 30, after Moses has taught them more of the law, he then begins to give them prophecy. Verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee." In other words, this is a prophecy that would come to pass after some future dispersion or driving out of the Israel people. And among the things that would come to pass is in verse 6, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live." So who was promised circumcision of the heart by God Almighty? The Israel people. And that biblical or scriptural mark of Israel is upon our race, not upon the race of the Jews. At least 95% of all the professing Christians in the world come from the race of Anglo-Saxon people and kindred people. They have the biblical or scriptural mark of circumcision, which was a mark of Israel. The 12th mark is in Genesis 18. Genesis 18, beginning in verse 17. "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So all of this was passed on to Isaac and Israel, as you know, and this is a mark of Israel, that they were to keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And I ask you, which nation or nations have that mark upon them? Which ones try to do righteousness according to God's way or God's law? Is it Jewish occupied Palestine or America? And I'd also ask you that in America, who are the greatest violators of God's law who attempt to teach and do injustice and unrighteousness? Well, of course, you know it is the Jewish people. Now, I have an advertisement here, which to me is a mark of religious stupidity, although it is also a mark of diligence on the part of the individuals. This is an advertisement for two books in the spotlight of September 1st, 1980. The two books are offered by the American Presbyterian Press. And I'll give the address in case anyone would want to order one or both of them. It is Box 46, Sutton Street, Uxbridge, UXBRIDGE, Maine, 01569. One of the books they offered is titled The New Phariseeism. And they say of this book is a thorough, systematic, and scriptural refutation of the fact and theory of British Israelism, the belief that the Anglo-Saxon race are the lost tribes of Israel. It gives a hard-hitting analysis of the thinking and theology of the British Israelites and counters it with a devastating logic, annihilating it from the scriptures, even as it defends the historic Christian faith and the gospel of Christ and the apostles. So book number one supposedly refutes the idea that we are the Israel people. Here's book number two, title, The Hebrew Republic. And they say about this book, a valuable reprint of book two of Wine's commentary on the laws of the ancient Hebrews. This work is a masterpiece of biblical political science. Wine's careful and detailed analysis of the law of Moses finds in them all the republican principles of government that our forefathers used in the foundation of the American Republic. It definitely establishes that not to pagan Greece or Rome, but to the divinely inspired polity of Moses are we indebted for the form of government which is our heritage. In other words, they put out one book which supposedly refutes the teaching that we are Israel, and they put out another book in the same ad, and they only offer two books, in the same ad, which tells us that the foundation of American politics and social science in America is the Bible, the law of Moses. Now, what people were to found their nation on the law of Moses? Well, the Israel people. So the one book proves we are Israel, even though the other one they try to prove that we are not. Apparently, whoever ran that ad for the Presbyterian Press did not understand that the one book refutes the other one. Anyway, it was Abraham's descendants, and it was to be a mark of Israel that they were to do justice and righteousness. In what race or in what nation is that being fulfilled? Well, even according to that one book, it is America, the only nation in all of the world founded on the law of Moses and on the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I should mention, in case I don't get to it, that mark number 26 was that Israel was to be in possession of God's law, which we'll discuss a little further then. And by the way, if some of you still think that the Jews follow the teachings of Moses and God's law, you should get my sermon on the seven sins of Canaan and also the series on the man of sin. The Jewish religion teaches Jews to violate every moral law of God, which they then do. It is part of their religion. Most Christians do not know that. Mark number 13 is in chapter 22 of Genesis, beginning in verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And of course that is a repeat of a previous mark of a great host of people. Here's the mark itself, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now most have interpreted that to mean the points of world control, the sea and ocean passages, such as the straits, the ends of the continents, and the great canals and riverways. These were all controlled by the Anglo-Saxon people, except that now, through disobedience, we are now losing that, as is prophesied in the prophets. We have already lost Suez, the passages in the East Indies, Singapore, Malta, the Dardanelles, Cuba, and now we are giving away the Panama Canal. And the question is, will we yet lose control of Gibraltar, of South Africa, the Straits of Magellan? How about north of Norway, the Bering Strait between Alaska and Siberia? Because the Russian Navy is moving to control all the sea gates of the world. Those sea gates were prophesied to be in the possession of Israel. They were, until we lose them through disobedience. And I might comment, too, that we were in Washington, D.C., and visiting the senators and the congressmen when they were voting on the Panama Canal Treaty, which would turn the Panama Canal over to Panama, and we had a map showing how 50 years ago the Anglo-Saxon nations controlled all the trade routes of the world through these sea passages and canals, and how we were losing them, and we had the prophecies listed how they would be lost, and we told these senators that we didn't care what they did, God Almighty was going to take the Panama Canal away from us because it was one of the gates of the world. And of course, that is exactly what has happened. Mark number 14 is in Genesis 27. Genesis 27, verse 28, Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. This was repeated and elaborated on in the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, where God spoke through Moses about Joseph, beginning in verse 13, And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. This would be a promise of great agricultural harvest and wealth from the earth. And of course there, the Anglo-Saxon nations, especially America and Canada, win hands down. They are the world's most successful farmers. Other races plant a bushel of grain, such as over in India, and they harvest between 2 and 5 bushels of grain back for the bushel they put in the ground. The American farmer plants 1 bushel of grain, and he gets back 30 to 60 bushels, sometimes using the same farming methods. In fact, some of the Peace Corps people and farmers who have gone to the heathen in Africa and India have been amazed to find that even though they teach them how to farm, they simply do not get the harvest that these people do here in this North American continent. Acres USA had some comparisons between Russia and the United States in agricultural produce, and they stated that the Russian farmer works approximately 30 hours to produce one bushel of wheat. The American farmer works 6 minutes to produce one bushel of wheat. That has to be the divinely fulfilled prophecy that God's Israel people would be blessed with these great agricultural harvests. The Jews can't even farm, and I've often asked people, do they even know a Jewish farmer? I've not found one yet who knows a Jew who can raise things. You might take a look at where they live in their cities, and most of them, or many of them, live in high-rise apartment buildings, and you hardly ever see a green thing growing there. The comparison was rather startling when the folks here who were with us when we were in England, even over there where these Anglo-Saxons live in these houses all crushed together, they've got window boxes hanging on every window, and this is in commercial buildings too, growing something. These Anglo-Saxons have to get their fingers in the dirt when the frost goes away in the spring. Why? Well, because they're farmers. They're the best farmers on earth, one of the marks of Israel. Mark number 15 is also in Genesis 27, in the next verse, verse 29. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So they were to rule over other people. What race of people, when they are in obedience to God? And remember, these marks of blessings would only come to pass when Israel is in obedience. But what race of people easily rule over all other races? You know, several centuries ago, when our people were just coming into the light of God's Word and the Reformation was sweeping Europe, our Anglo-Saxon people began to go to the other continents. And a handful of men of our race placed in subjection the heathen races. At one time, Britain had control of all of India with less than 30,000 soldiers. And many of the cases we know and we can read in history of battles where a handful, a dozen of these white Anglo-Saxon people would put to flight 1,000 or 2 or 3 or 5,000 of these heathen because they could not stand against God's Israel people. Why? Because God had given us rule over other nations as long as we were in obedience to his law. And that, of course, is now disappearing as we are in disobedience. Now let's look at the other side of the coin. If you say the Jews are the Israel people, then how do you explain that the Jews now, while being so far in transgression of God's word that they refuse to recognize the Redeemer of Israel, Jesus Christ, are now gaining rule over our nation and all other nations? You see, the very opposite is happening to them that should have happened to the children of Israel. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. This lists the blessings that Israel would have for obedience, which are the marks of Israel, and the curses for disobeying God, which are also marks which would be upon the Israel people. In Deuteronomy 28, in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee 7 ways. You know, when the Spaniards came into Central America and Mexico, the history books tell us now how cruel they were and how they destroyed those cities down there and so on. Well, they discovered that those Aztecs and those people down there were practicing human sacrifice. They actually brought hundreds, maybe thousands of people in and sacrificed them on these altars. And these Spaniards, who were attempting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, just became like madmen. And they went in there and they tore those altars down and they cut the heads off the priests and they placed those people under subjection. Exactly what Israel was supposed to do to the heathen: tear down their altars and destroy their false gods. Well, the modern liberals today, of course, they think those Spaniards did a terrible thing by doing that, but they were doing just what Israel was supposed to do: destroy heathen religion. However, when Israel is out of line and disobedient to God's word, we read in verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And here are a few. Verse 25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Verse 32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look, and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. Verse 43 and 44, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Israel, in disobedience, was to go into debt. Do you know any nation in the world that has more debt than these Anglo-Saxon people in the United States of America and Canada? Why? Because we are the Israel people, and God is causing these curses to come upon us, just as he said. Verse 48, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. The Jews are so far in disobedience that they violate all of the commandments. They blaspheme Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of Israel. And is any of this happening to them? No, they have their own nation, and they are taking rulership over ours. They cannot be Israel, else the word of God is not true. In Christendom, they form huge organizations with millions of dollars to stop the teaching of the Bible in schools. They attempt to stop prayer in the public schools. Their television and movies ridicule and destroy the Christian religion. Yet they are blessed. They are becoming wealthy. They are taking rule. And that should not, it cannot happen to Israel. And if they're Israel, then of course this word that I'm reading cannot be true. Turn to Hebrews 12 for a New Testament explanation of what is happening to us, and therefore, because it is, it'll tell you who we are. The 12th chapter of Hebrews, a letter written, of course, in address to the Hebrews or the Israel people, beginning in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. This strange race of people who call themselves Jews, in spite of the fact they are in violation of God's laws, are not being chastised by God. Is it because they are not sons but are instead bastards? That's what the New Testament says. Now I say that these verses, and many more, alone prove either one or the other of two things. Number one, if God wrote the truth in these verses that I've read, then we are Israel. Number two, if the Jews are Israel, then all of this is false, and we are fools to worship such a God. And yet we have tens of thousands of ministers in America who teach that the Jews are Israel, and yet there isn't one mark of Israel upon the Jewish people. And there is mark after mark which proves they are not the Israel people. So someone is lying to God's people in America, that's for sure. Mark number 16 is in Genesis 28. God is giving a dream to Jacob, verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Some of this, of course, is repeating promises made to Abraham and to Jacob's father Isaac. The new one here is that they were to spread out of that land of Canaan to the west. The first Israelites went west into the Mediterranean and into southern Europe, while Israel was still in Egypt and while in Canaan land. They spread to the east into the Assyrian captivity and east of the Caspian Sea, then to the north out of Assyria and north into Europe, And the last migration was out of Europe to the south, as far as South Africa and Australia, if they are the Anglo-Saxon people. If they are the Jews, you can find no dispersion of those people until after the time of Christ. Yet Israel was gone long before the time of Christ, except for the remnant in Judah. So whatever you make of it, they were to be scattered out of Palestine and to be a great host of people. They were to spread all across the earth. Only one race has migrated from the place of its origin into all the continents of the world, and that is the Anglo-Saxon and kindred people called the White Caucasian race. All of the rest of the races still remain in what appears to have been the lands or continents of their origin, the Negroes in Africa, the Mongolians in Asia, and the Polynesian in the islands of the sea. The only Negroes who ever left their continent were forcibly removed. And yet these white Anglo-Saxons voluntarily have spread themselves all over the world. We have been the explorers, the colonizers, and the civilizers of the earth. Even today, our race is still reaching out to the highest mountains, to the driest deserts, to the deepest ocean, and even into space. We are the building race. We are Israel. Mark number 17 is in verse 15 of that same chapter. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob's people were to be brought again into the land of Canaan where he was. And that was fulfilled by Jacob and all of his sons going into Egypt after Joseph was sold there, being there 400 years, and then being brought into Canaan land out of Egypt. That prophecy of bringing Israel back into the land of Canaan was fulfilled when they came out of Egypt. And the Jews verified to Jesus, as we read last time, that they had never been in Egypt. They had never been in captivity. Another mark that they were missing, of course. Mark number 18 is in Genesis 32, and this was given during the time when God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Genesis 32, beginning in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And you know the rest of the story, verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now I believe that again is a mark which fits only Israel. You have power with God and with men. This is a comparable one to the blessings and the curses, because Israel, when they are in obedience to God's word, have power with God and power over men. But when Israel is in disobedience, Israel loses its power with God and then loses its power over other men. In fact, other races and other people then take power over Israel. So this fits with the blessings and the curses we have just read, that Israel would have power with God and with men, but only in obedience. Now the Jews, again, seem to have power over men in spite of their disobedience. So they do not have this identifying mark of Israel. And by this time, I suppose you and I are both wondering why I go on with mark after mark. I only listed 33 of them. We've only gone through 18, and there are over 100 and some specific marks that you can find in the Bible that show what Israel was, what they were to be, and what was to happen to them. Not a single solitary one of them fits the people called Jews, and every one of them fits our race of people. And so after a while, you begin to wonder whether you should continue with something like this. If people have not heard, by the time I got this far, they're not going to hear. So I think I'll close by listing the rest of the 33 marks, which are given in a little more detail in the series of two sermons that I did just titled The Marks of Israel. And I'll challenge you not only to recognize that there are absolutely no marks or prophecies or descriptions of Israel which fit the people who call themselves Jews, and any man who says they are is a liar. And we have at least 100 to 200,000 men in this country who call themselves ministers who tell you the Jews are the Israel people and there's not one mark of Israel on those people that you can find from a scriptural standpoint. I'll just give the scripture verses as I go down through here and take time to read perhaps one or two. Mark number 19 is in Genesis 35 and verse 11 that Israel was to be a nation and a company of nations. We believe this is fulfilled in the United States of America and the British Commonwealth. Mark number 20, Genesis 17, they were to be the kings and rulers of the earth. And we believe this was shown when Israel was in obedience up to about 100 years ago. Mark 21, the chief ruler was to come out of Judah. This, of course, would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Genesis 49, it shows other rulers, which I should read. Genesis 49, where Jacob is prophesying about each one of the tribes. He prophesies of Judah, verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. In verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The word gathering there should have been translated obedience, and unto him shall the obedience of the people be. All monarchical houses of Europe are descended from the Germanic peoples, and they can trace their lineage back to Charlemagne, to King David, and to the kings of Judah. It's also true that most of America's first presidents are from the Tudor line of royalty of England, including George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Adams and about a dozen others, so that royal line of Judah came to America and ruled over our people here. I covered this in much more detail on my radio broadcast, so you'll hear this giving more evidence that the Germanic people are the true descendants of Judah, which explains why the Jews hate the Germans above all other people, because the Germans are true Judah. They have provided the kings and rulers over all of our nations of Israel, and they have provided Christianity's greatest preachers. Amen. Have come out of Germany. The Reformation was born in Germany. There's a reason why the Antichrist Jews have made somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 movies which portray the German people as terrible, dirty, killing Nazis. When I say the Germanic people, I'm including parts of Poland and Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia and Germany and Switzerland, northern Italy, all what one time was the Germanic Empire. And God has poured out blessings upon our race and upon our people through that line. About one quarter of the people who live in the United States of America today are German or have German blood. I don't know if most of them realize that when they see all these movies that are belaboring and insulting the German people, that they are being insulted, because the Jews recognize that Germany is literally in Europe synonymous with Christianity. Mark number 22 then would be also in Genesis 49 and verse 10, unto him shall the gathering or the obedience of the people be. And out of Judah came the great Protestant Reformation, which turned Israel back to God from Antichrist during the last four or five centuries. Mark number 23 is also in Genesis 49, Joseph's descendants to be blessed above the rest of Israel. We believe this North American continent is Joseph's land. America is blessed above all other nations. Number 24, Joseph's land was to be blessed agriculturally. And again, America is blessed, has been blessed, while we have been in obedience. We are now losing that blessing. We are losing the agricultural harvest. Some of the news coming to us from agricultural papers around the United States, and the general news media is not telling you this, so I'll tell you, that in the whole central belt of America, from 25% to 70% of the crops are lost this year. We are on the verge of famine, and the news media is hiding this from you. In Louisiana, I understand 70% of the cotton crop is lost. In parts of Texas and Arkansas and Oklahoma, you folks are from Texas, they are ready to start plowing under the crops. They're not even worth harvesting in many places. We could be short of food this winter. I'm just adding that as an aside to show you what is happening to us in disobedience. These blessings are being taken from us. Mark number 25 is in the same passage of Genesis 49. The wealth and minerals were to be made available to Israel. None of this is available in Palestine. In fact, they keep claiming that there is minerals in the Dead Sea, and they say that potash is the great one worth millions of dollars in the Dead Sea. Well, bless my soul, these Canadians dig potash right out of the ground up here and load it on freight cars and haul it to factories where it's put in bags and sold. 40% of all the world's potash is lying in potash mines up in Canada, not over in Palestine, but in the nations of Israel. Mark number 27, I gave this in more detail before, so I'll go through these rather quickly. Israel was to be blessed in obedience. Mark number 28, Israel was to be cursed in disobedience. Number 29, they were to be the servants of God. Number 30, they were to be God's witnesses to carry the word to the ends of the earth. Number 31, they were to come under a new covenant promised to Israel. We have thousands of ministers who claim to be New Testament or New Covenant preachers, and they preach the New Covenant. And who was the New Covenant made with? The house of Israel and the house of Judah. Evidence, of course, by what has happened to us. Mark number 32, Israel was not to be known by the name of Israel. This is in Isaiah 62 and Isaiah 65. Who is not called Israel today? We're not called Israel. Who is called Israel? Well, someone who is not Israel, fulfilling Isaiah 62 and Isaiah 65. And Mark number 33, Israel was to be called by the name of God. And that's in number 6 and verse 26, Acts 11, 26, and also Revelation 3 and verse 12. So Israel, the Israel people, were to be renamed by the name of God. And all of the world calls us Christendom, the Christian West. We are named after Jesus Christ, the God, the Redeemer of Israel. And I will repeat again in closing, it is reaching the point where those who continue to proclaim that the Jews are Israel do so without any historical or biblical foundation, and most of the modern evangelists have been written to, talked to, and people have sent them scores and maybe hundreds of tracts giving them historical and biblical evidence which shows that all of the prophecies concerning Israel are being fulfilled in the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples of the Christian West, so they are without any excuse in still preaching that the Jews are Israel. And I will add, for the benefit of those who hear this tape, if you support ministers who preach the Jews are Israel, you are without any historical or biblical foundation for supporting them. You also are without excuse. You are supporting liars. You are supporting blasphemers of Jesus Christ. You are supporting the enemies of God and of Israel, and God will hold you accountable for it. It shouldn't take any person with a good mind and reason and logic more than a few days of examining the evidence which we give to at least come to the conclusion they'd better spend some more time examining it when we claim we are Israel. I agree with my good friend Pastor Ewing when he said at one of our Bible conferences, I can prove to any man that we are the Israel people if he will read the books I tell him to read. But most people will not read. We have a book on the back bookshelf there called Tracing Our White Ancestors. It's only 186 pages, and as of this date, I do not know any person who has read that book who has not then admitted we are the Israel people. The marks of Israel are upon us. God is doing with us what he said he would do with Israel. Let me close in the fifth chapter of James, an exhortation not to the Jews, not to the people who preach the false doctrine that the Jews are Israel, but to those of you who have, in recent hours or days or weeks, discovered that the Jews are not Israel, and we are. In James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. If you know the truth and you know what you are supposed to do, and you do it not, it is a sin. God will hold you accountable for it. You study this word. You are committing sin when you are supporting men who are preaching lies to our people. It's that simple. Our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Amen.
That knowledge will come from the Word of God, will teach us who we are, what our responsibility is, and that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill in us the things He promised to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, our fathers. May God open the blind eyes of His Israel people. Let's stand. Our Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we thank You for all of this hope and promise and comfort that we have from Thy Word, and especially that Thou art a covenant-keeping God. You have kept Your word with Israel. Father, these things have come to pass, and they give us the great hope and comfort that You will bring us into the kingdom as Thou hast promised. We thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of our sins, for the redemption of this people, and to seal to us that great kingdom. Lord God, speed the day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.